May is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Welcome back, everyone, to Campfire Tales. Tonight, we have a European monstrosity story that I cannot wait to share with each and every one of you tonight. Stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss this. If you like true and creepypasta scary stories, make sure to subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up. Now, let's get spooky. I am the leader, or former leader perhaps, of a mercenary group known as the Wings of Salvation. We ran missions that go without written records. Missions that were necessary, but that nobody had the stomach for. We didn't get medals of honors. We dealt in the darkness of deeds and absolute secrecy for nearly 30 years. For all those years, not a single soul knew of our deeds outside us, nor our friends, our spouses, and our dedication to confidentiality came at a cost of many marriages. Even so, we were happy to never shed light on what we have done. Now that I am all that remains, dirty and faceless, I feel like I let a few of these secrets slip. A soldier does not question, but I am a soldier no longer, and those questions I face now. I could feel my soul collapsing under their weight. The Wings have dealt with things both human and non-human. Sometimes your government, yes, yours specifically, wants someone or a group of someone to just be gone. Depending on how they receive us, we deliver either prisoners or body bags. I'm not a monster, and I don't operate a company of murderers. We won't kill non-combatants. Whatever your government does once we hand them over, that is no longer in our control. All my company wants is to protect the common people. We sacrifice our dreams, our sanity, and sometimes our lives, so that the majority of the world can live in relative peace. In the most remote parts of the world, or even under the ground that you walk on, there are creatures beyond your knowledge lurking. When those monsters get discovered, we are one of the few that get called. We have encountered all sorts of threats to humanity, brainless beasts that devour flesh by the pound. They lurk near villages, in woods, in caves, and they pick off whatever humans are unlucky enough to wander too close. While not every mission deals with monsters, we are one of a handful of groups capable of handling these kinds of missions. Very few can handle these beasts. Even fewer can keep their trap shut. What makes me blow the whistle now started only a couple days prior. We were hired to keep checkpoints. This community out in Eastern Europe was under some intense lockdown, and we were to make sure nobody came in or out. We weren't given any kind of gear for diseases, so I assumed this was some kind of civil unrest type of situation. Those were honestly the easiest money. We just flex some muscle and arrest some loudmouths, and you'll be home in a month. It wasn't past us to silence some civilians who caused too much of a ruckus, or saw something that they shouldn't. You take them to a dark room. You take them to a dark room and syringe them into the neck. Say you injected a bomb so that we could monitor and detonate at any time. It doesn't matter if it's a lie. Make a convincing enough demonstration, and they'll believe it every time. We do what others cannot or will not. that was the normal situations that we dealt with. Now this was not our normal situation. When we got to the site, we noticed the screams first. Unholy, inhuman screams can be heard before we even saw the walls. 10-foot-high cement walls stood surrounding the community. Razor wire adorned the top of the wall, electrified by multiple generators. I should have packed it up and cut the contract right there. When we deal with monsters, we are told what we are dealing with. I don't send my friends into a fight underinformed and underprepared. As we approached the outer checkpoint, the guards started handing each of my men M240s. Light machine guns for the average reader. What are our orders? Was the only question I could ask. In my head, I was wondering what the hell this was all for.
Nothing gets in or out. If you see anything, shoot it until it stops moving. Maintain wall security.
What are our targets? I say, nodding my head towards the trucks encircling around the wall. For a civilian situation, M134 miniguns were an overkill. AT4s were simply unnecessary. The commander followed my gaze, then met my eye as he spoke.
Anything humanoid.
I grit my teeth at his answer. These damn idiots think they could keep us in the dark. At that moment, I was about to signal for us to abort when I noticed our path was already blocked by squads of soldiers. I glared into the commander's eyes and he glared back. We weren't getting out of here without shooting our way out. And since we were misled and we didn't bring our full firepower, we were outgunned and flanked. Things would get real bloody. I didn't particularly like the idea of having whatever they were so afraid of being left unguarded either. If you ever pull a stunt like this again, you'll be begging for whatever is in those walls to hide you from us. I warned him sternly. A smirk escaped his lips. The commander simply retorted,
"Of course, sir. We meant no disrespect. The situation has simply escalated since we contacted you."
Better get some training on communication if you want to make it home. His smirk quickly faded and he walked off, leaving the next in command to deal with his mess. It was for the best, as his presence only pissed me off more. But I've worked with plenty of pricks before and I could deal with one more. With that, I was given a radio and told what portion of the wall to cover. We ended up on the south side of the wall. During that time, we got to witness the resilience of whatever group was inside that pit. They started off with conventional means, fire and bullets. But as time went on, they got more desperate. Cluster bombs, white phosphorus. Hell, I think they broke every international law they could short of nuking the spot. The entire time, the screams that echoed around us continued. I only use a letter to identify my friends and comrades that I led to their demise. Not for the mission's secrecy, but to protect their own reputations. We have done some awful things under my command, and it is not their fault. I do not wish to sully their memory with my mistakes. Please understand, protecting their name and death is the only thing left I could do for them. Thank you.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or Die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Those things don't sound human, boss. M stated the obvious. After witnessing all they have survived, we all know damn well whatever is in there isn't human. No, they don't. Humanoid, remember? I reminded her. What exactly is in there? What are we doing here? Why weren't we informed of non-humans? M persisted. When have you ever questioned the mission before, M? Have you heard H ask anything? What about J? R never asks about the mission either. I spoke sternly. I'm sorry, sir. Soldiers do not question. Soldiers act. Live long enough, and you'll be in my shoes one day. Then it'll all make sense. My lies gave M enough false comfort for her to regain focus. The truth of the matter was, I was as clueless as everyone. I had just learned how to hide it. I could see she was only afraid. We all were. H had been pulling her hair out since we got here. J can't stop shaking his boots, and R had left nail marks in both of his arms. No matter how many times you face monsters, you are still afraid. The key is simply using that fear. Fear pumps you with adrenaline, making you react faster, and keeps your senses heightened. The day you lose that fear, you die. Things only got worse when we heard the crumbling of stone from the other side of the encirclement. Gunfire and screams were mixed with the roars of whatever lived inside, and I made the call to investigate the potential breach. After only a few minutes, there was only silence. I tried to make contact with the other side, but with no success. We couldn't sit in the dark and pretend it was all fine. So I put R in temporary command over the squad as I took H, J, and M along with a couple dozen others. You gonna be okay without us for a bit, R? H joked as we loaded the truck. Thinking I wasn't nearby, R got a mischievous smile on her face. She geared up for her best impression. Soldiers do not question. Soldiers act. Get to it, young lady. Yes, ma'am. H gave a heavy salute as I turned the corner. Good to know I was leaving my company in good hands when I die. R froze in her boots when she heard my voice from behind her. Thank you for keeping the mood light, you two. We will be back shortly. Keep the radio on. Yes, sir. R responded swiftly, calm again now that she knew that she wasn't in trouble. With that, we drove the loop in good spirits, until we saw the hole. A large hole had blown through the wall. Judging by the debris, the force had broken through came from inside. Vehicles were flipped, shell casings littered the ground, but not a single living soul could be found. Most of the bodies that were strewn about were cut into chunks, sliced through clean, as if they had been severed by a single stroke of a scalpel. HJ and myself covered the opening as M and the others searched around for any surviving units. None were found. I contemplated investigating inside the hole, but with all the shit they dumped in there, it would have been a death trap. Soon, a rumbling could be heard from inside the wall, as red eyes could be seen staring at us from inside of the hole. We fired. My gun had managed to get jammed, and I know that was no accident. That commander must have given me a faulty gun out of spite, but that ironically is the only reason I live. Monsters came pouring out of the hole. Long, gray, gaggly arms bore blades that ran from their forearm down past their elbows. They ran on needle-like legs, thrusting off the ground to propel themselves forward. They looked like the genetic combination of a human and a stick bug. Their blades swung swift and precise as the monsters rushed my friends. Screams were silenced by the sound of wind being parted. No matter how much J and H unloaded into them, they would not fall. I watched helplessly as one rushed past H, splitting her head in half and carrying her body off back into the hole. Another swung at J and he dived to dodge the attack. The creature whipped back around and stabbed its spike through J's chest. It left him impaled on his leg and hobbled and carried him off into the hole as well. M and the search team came rushing back, but before I could order them, they ran to open fire. Crashes started coming from all sides of the wall, and I could hear battle between the monsters and my company in all directions. In a futile attempt to overpower the roars of war, I ordered a full retreat. Nothing we had could stop these things. And with our allies slaughtered, we had finally signed up for a mission that was too much for us to handle. I threw my gun to the ground and yelled as I ran, hoping for some of the men to take notice and follow. I ran as deep as I could into the wilderness, armed only with my knife.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or Die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
The creatures, lightning quick, pursued me from a safe distance. When one approached, I would slash at it until it backed off. Eventually, I reached the end of the line, a cliff. I rolled around, but there was no escape. They had already surrounded me. Defeated, I slumped to my knees. A single creature approached me, and with a swift blow, everything went black. I woke up in a jail cell of sorts. Iron bars surrounded me, and one of the creatures watched me. I could see well around, as the buildings that used to exist had been reduced to rubble. The architecture was something I had never seen before, more sophisticated than anything I had ever seen. I looked on and spotted a crowd of injured creatures being tended to by others. I looked on and spotted a crowd of injured creatures being tended to by others. One was removing bullets from another's wounds with its claw-like fingers. Another was cutting away still burning white phosphorus from its friend as it screamed in pain. They were helping treat each other's wounds. I looked further and saw lines of bodies, both human and creatures, delicately placed side by side. A few living creatures wailed over the bodies of their fallen. One clutched the body as they wailed. The sight was too much to bear, and I turned away. Taking it all in, I realized they were far more intelligent than anything else I had encountered. They weren't savages. They were their own civilization. They had thoughts and emotions. They were just trying to live their lives. And we tried to kill them for it. I have done many dark deeds over my career, but I drew the line at slaughtering civilians. Sure, I'd bust them up, intimidate, threaten, but I only ever kill combatants. That's what I thought, at least. Now I question every action my company has performed. Was it a terrorist cell I wiped out, or was it a neighborhood? Were the bodies we excavated slain hostages or collateral? Was the child I found beneath the rubble slain by evil I sworn to fight, or by my own hands? Those were the only questions that came from our human missions. Every kind of monster we killed, how many were innocent? How many were intelligent? How many families have I destroyed in the name of peace? I had moved blindly, never questioning. I would sleep soundly, thinking I was saving lives, working to erase evils and save peace. I was supposed to be the sword that struck down true evils while bureaucrats wasted time arguing. My company was the wings of salvation. Instead, I led us to be used as the wings of destruction. As the creature guarding me opened the bar doors and motioned for me to follow it, I spoke softly in its language, despite the villain I must be in its eyes. As I walked out, I grabbed my satellite phone off the table. It seemed to notice, but it didn't stop me. It had determined that the phone was not a threat. The guard led me through more death and destruction as we walked through the shell of a city. The creatures I passed stared and whispered as I walked down the streets, but none yelled at me. None tried to harm me. We approached a group of creatures gathered into a circle, and my guard directed me to step inside. On the floor was an English alphabet laid out in front of me. Two of the creatures approached me. One spoke towards me and the second would spell out the translation.
You are on trial for your crimes. Do you understand?
The translator spelled out, the speaker's eyes never leaving mine. I nodded affirmatively, but they remained still. I got up and spelled my answer instead. Yes. I said the word as I spelt it for them, unsure if they could understand my speech. The translator relayed my message and the speaker continues. My eyes shift from speaker to translator to alphabet.
You are accused of murder, savagery, imprisonment, and genocide. Do you understand these crimes?
I think for a moment how I want to answer. I take a gamble and see how good the translator is. I understand all except for savagery. I know the term, but not as a crime. The translator is quick to understand my answer and relay it. I am amazed at how adept they are. Within a minute, the response is spelled out to me. Savagery is the crime of inflicting unnecessary suffering instead of a clean kill in battle. Do you now understand your charges? Yes, I spelt out. The speaker holds up a golden cube and an obsidian cube. He placed them in front of me as the translator spelled the message.
The golden cube is chosen by those who swear to be innocent of their accusations. The black cube is chosen by those who confess to their wrongdoings. Your choice decides your fate.
It takes little thoughts before I pick the black cube. There is no denying what I have done. The speaker takes the cube from my hand and holds it higher for all to see. Murmurs can be heard from the entire circle. They eventually take turns to say something to the speaker, but nothing to be shared with me. The speaker then addresses me and the translator writes to me again. He goes slow, sentence by sentence, so I could understand this long and important statement.
You have confessed to your crimes, and so judgment must be passed. You are commanded to be a servant to our people for the remainder of your life. If you do not accept these commands, you will not be provided freedom from your cage. You shall aid any request and answer truthfully to any question that is asked of you. Do you understand your judgment?
Yes, is all I could think to respond. I was sure I was going to be executed, but I guess I'll accept my slavery. With my answer, my guard approaches to take me away, but the speaker halts him. The translator spells out once more.
We acted only in defense. Our way is to live without causing harm. Why would you attack us?
The speaker's noble expression had now fallen to an almost pitiful one. He seemed so gentle that the idea of an attack was beyond his comprehension. He looked at me as though I had betrayed him. I was told by those who hired me that you were killing humans. I thought you were monsters. The translator's eyes flickered between me and the alphabet a few times before he relayed the message. Once spoken, the speaker's eyes widened as well. His face is filled with sorrow. He remained still for a moment before speaking one last time to the translator.
What do you think now?
Was their final question. I thought hard about this. All my life I had done what I had thought was the right thing. My intentions had always been good, and I sacrificed a lot to fulfill those good intentions. I did what I did here thinking the monsters were inside these walls. I tried to justify all that had occurred. Standing now in front of all that I had wronged, I realized how much pain I inflicted. Without a moral compass, without question, a soldier knows no disgrace. and that soldier is more dangerous than anything I had ever killed. I spell out my response. I am the monster. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed the creepy little tale tonight. Something that you probably weren't expecting, and neither was I. But a nice twist, as humanity can be the true monster. Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. Share me with your friends, and again, like always, spread me like butter. Yeah.